May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I am son of Yerushal Abel Yashran, and I would like to serve you for a class of Priestine very soon. It's now time to start planning your seats for seven services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son Yerushal Abel Hodiah Hawks, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. I have a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yerushal Abel now entering the sanctuary. Now, I have a privilege and honor to present to you one of the sons of Yerushal Abel, Barzillai Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My topic today is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, Yahweh commands that at the seventh moon, His people, that's us, gather together at sunset to watch for His new moon. The viewing of the seventh moon sets the exact date up, the exact date for the soon upcoming feast, Day of Atonement, Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. The first day of the seventh moon is a day of great joy and feasting. We are to enjoy rich food and drink. The Feast of Trumpets is a Sabbath, a high holy day. On this day, no regular work may be done. Services are held on this day, and the trumpets are blown throughout the whole day. The Feast of Trumpets stands for the great day when the trumpets will be blown and the heavens will be rolled back like a scroll. Yahshua will come to gather the saints, establish Yahweh's kingdom, and then Satan's influences on this earth will come to an end. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you could turn over to Leviticus 23:24, found on page 102. Leviticus 23:24, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh moon of the first of the moon, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, a holy convocation." Now, in the seventh book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 10, verse 82, pastor says, "Now just kept the Feast of Trumpets. I don't know how many understood what we were keeping here, but we were celebrating, brethren, the seven works. The seven works of Yahweh. The seven trumpeters. The seven works that Yahweh started from had planned. When He created the earth, we celebrate His works. And the people who celebrate this and don't know what they're celebrating, I don't know what they're thinking in their minds. But it should be in your mind what we're celebrating, because the last trumpeter and the last lamp on the light are the same. And in that time of the seventh lamp is when Yahweh's work is finished. We're in the last We're in that time period right now, the seven works of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, the seven works of Yahweh to bring the universe out of sin, bring it out of sin. So here I have the September 2015 calendar. September 2015 calendar. Isn't this a great calendar? Yeah. Praise Yahweh. Now on the 13th is when we're supposed to start washing. And on the 14th is when we're supposed to see the moon. We're supposed to start watching on the 13th just in case it comes out early. And on the 14th, if we see it, that'll start the Feast of Trumpets. And if you don't know if the moon was spotted, then you can always call the house of Yahweh and make sure it was spotted. And now with that, if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to Senator Vigilela for prayer.
And now, if you all remain standing, I'd like to turn it over to the son of Yishalabel, Great Deacon Tawakia Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, if you remember, a couple weeks ago in one of Pastor's sermons, he was talking about how the prescription drugs are killing more and more people each day and each year, and how it's not... And I want you to remember that it's not just one nation that is experiencing this problem. It's the whole world. Well, today I'm going to take a closer look on how confused the world is with the drugs and also with another bill that was just legalized. I'm going to start out with this one. You can see this. So the California legislature approves a bill to legalize physician-assisted suicide. So now it's okay to kill yourself. If the physician is helping you. It says, the bill would allow mentally competent patients to request a prescription that would end their lives if two doctors agree that patients have only 6 months to live. Well, they got two witnesses at least. So there's a mixture. They have two witnesses, but they're still suicide. And keep in mind that suicide is murder. Killing yourself. And in Exodus 20, verse 13, if you'll turn over there, in Exodus 20, 13, we're given specific instructions on page 61 of the book of Yahweh. It says, you shall not murder. So we're told that you're not supposed to do these things. But the world says that it's okay now. They've got this bill saying that it's okay to kill yourself. It says, we are here today on the pre-spice of granting a wish that I was not able to give to my mother, said Senator Hannah Beth Jackson, who said her mother died in agony from a form of leukemia. It was a subject of weeks of debate as supporters argued that the measure would allow people in last stages of terminal illnesses to die peacefully. Well, if they would have kept Yahweh's laws from the beginning, there wouldn't be any agonizing death. It would be the way Yahweh created it. Well, advocates for seniors and the disabled argue it would make people vulnerable to greedy relatives or others who wish to avoid taking care of them or inherit their money. So they're saying that it might make them vulnerable to people wanting, well, they're sick, so let's just let them go. And then, well, where's all their money go? It goes right to the next person down the line. The measure allows physicians to prescribe medication to end a person's life. If two doctors agree, the person has only 6 months to live. The person also must be deemed mentally competent by a mental health professional. Tricking or coercing patients to end their lives will be a felony under the measure. So you can't trick them to do it. That would be breaking their law, but you can kill them if they have your consent. Now, those drugs that they're prescribing, those are the same drugs that they are giving you help you get over your cancer or any of that other thing. So prescription drugs, as Pastor was saying, they're as deadly as the illegal ones. So what makes prescription drugs so addictive? We're going to look at that. The most addictive drugs, prescription drugs, are those that contain opiates. These opiate-based drugs include widely used pills such as hydrocodone, codeine, oxycodone, and other painkillers. Many people use these prescription drugs, taking them for their opiate effects, and not because they were prescribed by a physician. So They're taking them because it gives them that great feeling inside. They think that it's all their problems go away. And these drugs, keep in mind, are being sold on the market right now. It says, and even the doctors, so those are the people that are prescribing the drugs to the people, are at risk. Studies show that as many as 10% of doctors who prescribe opiate-based painkillers become addicted. So they're doing the same thing that you're doing. They're taking these painkillers and they're getting that warm feeling inside, the feeling that they think there's no problem. They're king of the hill. So what makes prescription drugs so addictive? The answer lies in the opiates themselves. They have an effect on the human brain. Opiates such as the ones found in prescription drugs create artificial endorphins. Well, what are endorphins? Well, they're produced by the central nervous system, and their principal function is to inhibit the transmission of pain signals. They also produce a feeling of euphoria, very similar to that produced by opiates. So they help with the transmission of pain signals and also with some of your other feelings. It goes on to say, they create artificial endorphins in the brain, which produce, in the early stages of use, warm, good feelings in the user. So it's not great or righteous feelings, it's good feelings. But over time, opiates trick the brain into stopping the production of these endorphins naturally. So, or originally, the way Yahweh created each and every person. At this point, the only way the prescription drug addict can experience positive feelings is by using the drug in question. This process is the reason why opiate-based prescription drugs are so addictive. So they stop the way Yahweh originally set it to be, the way Yahweh created mankind. Now, what occurs to your body when you stop taking these prescription drugs, whenever these endorphins stop coming artificially? Because remember, it tricks your brain in thinking, well, it doesn't need to produce any more endorphins. So what occurs? When your body stops producing its own endorphins, a person feels sick and depressed whenever they're not taking the prescription drugs. For these individuals, taking the drug is no longer about the positive feelings that were felt the first few times they took the drug. Now the opiate use has become about avoided negative feelings and symptoms. So they take it just to have a great attitude is what they're saying here. Now, how many drugs have been approved by the FDA? And keep in mind that this is the place that keeps your food safe. Safe, they say. The research is determined, in fact it says, until recently the answer to that question wasn't easy to find. You couldn't find it on the FDA's website, and even digging in the FDA's so-called Orange Book, which contains the list of all approved drugs and their generic equivalents, wouldn't give you a complete tally, since withdrawn and no longer marketed drugs are included. So the total, as of December 31st, 2013, was 1,453 drugs. And keep in mind that those are the same drugs that people are taking, and it's killing them. But they're keeping your food safe. Just remember that. Just a small handful of drugs received approval prior to the creation of modern FDA in 1938, including Merck's. Now, I have a graph here to show you. You can see these two bottom ones here. We have, in the 1930s, there wasn't very much. And as we moved on through the decades, it slowly began to get higher and higher and higher. And you see the same thing over here. They kept getting higher and higher and higher. They were approving more and more drugs. It goes on to say, the first decade of the new millennium witnessed the highest levels of volatility thus far. 118 entries offset by 124 exist. And these trends are likely to continue based on information found from the early part of the current decade. So they weren't that many back before Pastor was born, before the 1930s, 1934, before then. But now, in this generation, these things have become more and more rampant, and we're seeing these things more and more. They're approving more drugs. Now, drug abuse, this is an article. It says, drug abuse kills 200,000 people per year, UN report. And it actually gives a number on how much it would cost to stop people or to help people that are addicted to drugs. It says drug abuse kills 200,000 people worldwide each year, according to the UN report. Global treatment for drug abuse would cost $250 billion per year if everyone who needed help would receive proper care, according to the UN. Now, worldwide, this is a worldwide problem. Now, keep in mind that the worldwide military spending is just over $1.5 trillion. But it's going to cost, let's see, it's going to cost $250 billion per year to help people that are addicted to drugs. And I can tell you this much, the House of Yahweh can do it for much cheaper than that. Just give them a book, and they're set. A book and a teacher, and then they're set. Fewer than 1 in 5 people who need treatment actually receive it. The UN estimates that about 230 million people, or 5% of the whole world's population, use illegal drugs at least once in 2010. Now, how many people use prescription drugs in the whole world? A lot of people. In the United States, female drug use was 2/3 the rate the male rate, while in India and Indonesia, females constituted only 1/10 of those using illegal drugs. So that's just illegal drugs. And then there's a lot of people saying, well, the majority of those are from illegal drugs, but a lot of these people that are dying from drugs, they don't want to admit it, but it's the prescription drugs that the doctors are prescribing. And Pastor said, he said that there's a certain religion that is backing this, and that's the Catholic Church. They're not coming out in the open saying, no, they're going to have a pretty front. They're going to have roses, and it's going to look nice. But behind closed doors, what are they doing? They're pushing this forward. Remember what their plan is. Their plan is to depopulate the earth. Now, death from prescription drugs, the new epidemic sweeping across America. Death by medicine is a 21st century epidemic, and America's war on drugs is clearly directed at the wrong enemy. So the war on drugs down on the border and other places trying to stop the cartels and the drugs being brought across the border. This article is saying that it's directed at the wrong enemy. Well, who is the enemy? Prescription drugs are now killing far more people than illegal drugs. And while most major causes of preventable deaths are declining, those from prescription drugs are increasing. An analyst of the Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, by the Los Angeles Times revealed. Now, it says, these drugs include fatalities are not being driven by illegal street drugs. The analyst found that the most commonly abused prescription drugs like oxycodone, Vicodin, and Soma now cause more deaths than heroin and cocaine combined. So those drugs that people are being prescribed are saying these are safe, these are going to help you get over your sickness, whatever you're experiencing, then those are actually killing more people. Remember what Pastor said. He said that the doctors are so confused that they said, the person asked, well, how long am I going to live whenever I'm not on this drug? Well, you live about 2 weeks. Well, how long am I going to live whenever I do take these drugs? About 14 days. They don't even know the difference between that. The drugs are not going to help you. If anything, they're going to kill you even faster. And they're just starting to realize this, where pastors been bringing this out for years and years. The House of Yah has been bringing this out for years and years. They are just now starting to realize that these things are killing people. Yet these drugs are now being sold on the black market and on street corners, where people who have run out of prescriptions are willing to pay upwards of $80 a pill to get their fix. So they'll pay $80 per pill to get that feeling inside, that because they are so addicted to them, their brain stops producing those endorphins naturally. So they have to have a way, an artificial way, not an original, the way Yahweh made it, but an artificial way to get that that feeling inside. Many people become addicted after using drugs for headaches or back pain, and teens are increasingly taking the pills from their parents to use recreationally under the false assumption that they are not dangerous. It goes on to say the real thugs of the drug world. The war on drugs has focused nearly exclusively on the illegal trafficking of drugs like cocaine, heroin, and marijuana. While the most powerful drug dealers are of all, the pharmaceutical companies, are allowed to grow their business within the United States government's gold seal of approval. Because the U.S. or the FDA is approving these. The place that keeps your food safe is approving these drugs. But make no mistake, the leading pharmaceutical companies are also among the largest corporate criminals in the world. And they are really nothing more than white-collar drug dealers. So they're nothing more than the people that are bringing these illegal drugs across the border. It says, how can you avoid being killed by a prescription drug? It gives some things. Well, if you're already on them, then slowly reduce your rate per day. But it says, the truth is, the only way to avoid all risk, including death from prescription drugs, is to not take them at all. Get rid of them completely. Praise Yahweh. It says, if you adhere to a healthy lifestyle, you will most likely never need medications in the first place. Well, I can tell you, we here at the House of Yahweh, we adhere to a healthy lifestyle because we have a teacher that's telling us what a healthy lifestyle is. The world doesn't have that. It says, proper food choices, eating the right food, well, we do that. Comprehensive exercise program, including high intensity exercise, like peak fitness, stress reduction, and positive thinking. Well, I remember hearing that in a book that was put out by the Peaceful Solution, positive thinking. It says your emotional state plays a role in nearly every physical disease. And then, get this, proper sun exposure to optimize vitamin D. It says, we have long known that it's best to get your vitamin D from sun exposure. But they don't get any money that way, so they're not going to tell you that. And if at all possible, I strongly urge you to make sure you are getting out in the sun on a daily basis. There is preliminary evidence suggesting the oral vitamin D may not provide identical results, although it's still better than none at all. Just keep in mind that it's really best to get all your vitamin D from the sun. It appears that vitamin D plays a crucial role in sulfur metabolism. When you swallow it orally, it may not be the same benefit as getting it from the sun. So they're just now realizing that the things that the House of Yahweh has been bringing out for years and years is the truth. And what they're doing is only killing them. Now keep in mind that these drugs that they're putting out, this is their conclusion. This is their solution. It's not really a solution. It's just a Band-Aid for a bullet wound. But this is their solution. If you turn over to 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. Closing. It says, on page 938, it says, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Pastor said, never able to come to a positive conclusion. Never able to come to a solution that will really fix their problems. They're always putting Band-Aids on the wound. It's never going to heal it completely, but it'll fix it for 2 weeks or 14 days. So with that, keep in mind, the world has nothing to offer. They don't have anything that the House of Yahweh doesn't have. The House of Yahweh has it all better than the world. The House of Yahweh has a teacher. We have the books, plenty of books, knowledge that we can learn from. We don't need the prescription drugs. We adhere to a healthy lifestyle. We adhere to things that are not going to kill us, like the drugs, like the world has. So with that, if you all please stand, I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Kahan Benjamin Krause.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Wow, what a beautiful Sabbath day. Nice and cool out there, right? Getting a little relief. Fall's just around the corner, right? In fact, it's closer than you think. When does fall begin this year? September 23rd. Begins the fall. The Pope is on the way. And we're going to be talking about that today. And the title of my sermon is Pope Francis, We've Got Your Number. We've got your number. Yes, Yahweh reveals secrets, but only through the House of Yahweh in these last days does Yahweh reveal these things to the saints under the guidance of the greatest teacher on the face of the earth, the great Kohan Israel Abel Hawkins. So this year, fall begins on September 23rd. Interesting. Now, let me show you something else that I think is very interesting before I proceed. This is from a day-date calculator here. Pope Francis was elected on March 13th, 2013, and he's arriving on September 22nd, 2015, 923 days after his election. Is that a coincidence, House of Yahweh? No, it's not, okay? But you need to write these numbers down. I know sometimes I go fast, and I don't mean to. I just have so much on my plate. I mean, Yahweh just gives us an abundance of information, and I try my best, you know, not to go too fast, but I get overwhelmed sometimes, and I just ask that you bear with me, and I'll try to slow it down a little bit today, okay? Okay, now I want to remind you of something about September 23rd, first of all, that we're going to go over. Let's see if I can. First of all, I need to remind you. Let me just go back here for a minute so I don't get ahead of myself. I want to remind you where these things started. This is the May 2015 House of Yahweh calendar. And if you remember, just to remind you, May 12th, we were looking forward to that date. The great Kohan David Heimerman Hawkins and myself did some sermons earlier in the year leading up on those numbers of Pastor Stone. Everybody remember that? 17, 28, and 74. And in explaining that 74, we counted 74 verses from Revelation 2:17. Remember, on 2:17 is when Pastor's face was seen on Mars. And in Revelation 2:17, it talks about the white stone of acquittal. Okay, now, I don't have time to go back over those verses right now, but just keep these in your mind so you know how we came to this date of May 12th, which was the 37th Omar of the year. Okay, 37. And to remind you, also, on that date, Pastor had a dream. And in that dream, remember, he was in a vehicle going 70 miles an hour of all things. And he was coming up to an intersection, and there were some obstacles and cars coming, and he lost his brakes. And, you know, of course, you know, he shows how he made it through without getting hurt. And then when he got through that, there's a big, I guess, ocean in front of him and a big cliff. And right when he got through there, the car stopped, and he remembers thinking, Yahweh is in full control. Yahweh's in full control. And now, after that dream on the 37th Omar that we were looking forward to, we gave sermons about it leading up to it, all these things started coming out in the news regarding the number 37. And I'll try to flip through a few of them. Some of it was regarding the Iran nuclear deal. Ashley Madison exposing 37 million adulterers. And then we saw on Pentecost this picture right here, a pastor with the woman, the House of Yahweh, with the bonnet on. Remember that? And as it dissipated, it turned into this number right here, 37. Okay, now this was at the Feast of Pentecost on May 25th, just 13 days after May 12th. While we were at the Feast of Pentecost, Governor Abbott declared disaster areas in 37 Texas counties. And of course, remember all the flooding that took place. Okay, and of course, we were here in Yahweh's protected place, and it didn't bother us, did it? Because we were here keeping Yahweh's feast, right? Exactly 37 years, remember the thing about Pluto's moon Charon being revealed on when they passed by Pluto, you know, for the first time in 37 years after its discovery. All these headlines started coming up about the 37, Pluto being 3.7 billion miles away. You remember all these, try to remember all these things. And then we had the American Pharaoh, the Triple Crown winner. The first Triple Crown winner since 1978, the horse name Affirmed, I believe, was the last horse to win the Triple Crown. 37 years later, we had American Pharaoh. And that name, you know, I know when I saw that headline, it grabbed my attention right away. But that number really got my attention, too, because we were talking about 37, okay? And the 37th Omar and all these things. Okay, so let me get into this here. The Pope Francis was elected. He was elected. The papal conclave, they call it. White smoke was seen from the Sistine Chapel chimney on the 13th March at 1906 or 7:06 local time in Rome. Following the fifth ballot, and the bells began pealing minutes after, signifying the election of a new pope. So 313 or March 13 was when Pope Francis was elected. And here's, of course, the papal keys. Keep those in your mind for a moment, because you're going to see that here in a minute. I'm going to show you some more about that. Now, Pope Francis, he's coming on the 923rd day. He's the 266th pope, and he's coming on the 266th day of 2015. Now, these are not coincidences, and I'm going to show you how this all works. And also remember what we brought out before about the gestation period of a pregnant woman. The gestation period begins from, it starts from the count, from the moment of conception, and it starts at 37 weeks, they could have that baby. That would be around the normal range, 37 weeks. If one counts from the moment of conception, the length of time is 266 days. Okay? 266 days. Remember, Pope 266 on the 266th day. Remember, baby conceived. Keep these in your mind. Gestation period for a baby. All right, now, I don't want to lose my train of thought here. And by the way, here's another interesting fact. On day number 924, which is 923, remember, he's coming on the 923rd day, which is September 22nd. The 924th day, when he goes to the White House on the Day of Atonement, not our Day of Atonement, but the world's Day of Atonement, this was all planned out, okay? It's exactly 132 weeks. That's 33 and 33 and 33 and 33, okay? Which adds to 6, by the way, the number 132. Okay, but now keep these in your mind. These are very important numbers for you. Y'all remember the gay marriage that they just approved of by the U.S. Supreme Court, or what they call SCOTUS, their abbreviation SCOTUS? Keep that in your mind too for later time, okay? SCOTUS, okay? The Supreme Court of the United States on June 26th, Friday, June 26th, okay, the sixth day of the week, by the way, okay, approved gay marriage in America, all right? Now, that would be 6/26, right? Now, I want to remind you of something I brought out last week. Oh, went the wrong one. I'm sorry. Like I said, sometimes I get a little ahead of myself. Bear with me. Okay, remember the European date format? The date format, by the way, that's President Barack Obama's signature right there at an event he went to at Westminster Abbey in 2011. And notice how he wrote the date. He wrote 24 May and then the year. Because in Europe, that's how they do it. They put the date, the day first, then the month, then the year. And ironically, he says, perhaps he was thinking, when in Rome, do what the Romans do, right? Because that's what they do in Rome too, okay? Now, it says in the United Kingdom, in fact, most of the rest of the world, today's date would be indicated like, today's, what's today? What's the date today? It would be 12/9/2015 if you were anywhere else, okay? Now, it says here, We tend to think, as in most things that we're doing, it's the normal way, right? But in Europe, the only countries that don't share the European date format, in fact, are the U.S., the Philippines, Palau, the federal states of Micronesia, Canada, and Belize. Those are the only other places that don't do it, okay? I think those were called the Coalition of the Willing back in the first war in Iraq. But now, think about this format here, because let's go back to this papal election. Remember, he was the 266th pope, right? Now, June 26 is when they approved it. That's 26-6. If you were to write it in the European format, is that the number of Pope Francis? Is that the number of Pope Francis, House of Yahweh? Is that the number of Pope Francis? Okay, now watch this. 626 divided by 2 is 313. Is that when he was elected, House of Yahweh? 313? Pope Francis, we've got your number, Pope Francis, and we know what you're up to, Pope Francis, and your divination is being exposed by the House of Yahweh, the numerology, and everything else that they're doing. Now, that number, 313, is a deeply occult number, okay? And I don't have time to go into all of it today, but that was the papal election day. But what I will show you is this. Oh, and by the way, if you think June 26th was the only day associated with gays, notice here. On June 26, 2003, a divided court in Lawrence versus Texas that a Texas law making it a crime for two persons of the same sex to engage in intimate sexual conduct was unconstitutional. They made this ruling in 2003, and then in 2013, on the same day, June 26th, another thing about gay marriage was the Defense of Marriage Act. It says, a divided court in the United States versus Windsor said the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA, was unconstitutional as a deprivation of the equal liberty of persons that is protected by the Fifth Amendment. In other words, the people that are queer should be allowed the same rights as the rest of us, okay? That's called the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, these were all done on 626. Is that a coincidence, House of Yahweh?
No.
No, it's not. This is Pope Francis's number, okay? We got your number, Pope Francis. I'm not afraid to tell you. So, 313. Y'all remember this story I showed you a few weeks ago? No, you don't remember. That's why I have to remind you. I forget what I bring out most times. Do you know I have to go back and study my own sermons because I forget everything? I forget. So I feel you, House of Yahweh. I know how it is. On 7/27 in this year, a satanic temple in Detroit City unveiled a Baphomet sculpture in Detroit. Deal. Here it is. Here's a picture of it. 9 feet tall. They stuck it out there right in the downtown area and had all the Christians in an uproar. Why are we putting this Luciferian satanic statue out here like that? Well, let me give you a clue why they did that. Area code of Detroit is 313, House of Yahweh. Is that a coincidence, House of Yahweh? No, it's not. And that's the same day that Pope Francis was elected in 2013. 313, okay? Y'all getting this, right? Y'all, I don't see pens going in some places. I'm concerned about that. Because I don't remember. I just told you, I don't even remember. So I know you're not going to remember if you don't write these things down. Very important. Do you get this? By the way, on 3/13/2015, the Pope announced the Jubilee of Mercy. Jubilee of Mercy. Let me ask you a question, House of Yahweh. Does Pope Francis know anything about mercy? Have we not determined what mercy is, House of Yahweh? The mercy of Yahweh is to teach the peaceful solution to somebody that's sinning, that's bringing harm and danger into their life. That's mercy, to turn people from the evil of their way and show them their sins so they can make those changes in their life and they can have life and live forever. His year of mercy is going to begin on December 8th, 2015, and it will conclude on the 20th November, 2016, coinciding with the year of light, you know, in that same year, actually. But now, the reason he chose that time is because it says the extraordinary. See, he can make laws, right? He can change Yahweh's laws. Is this Yahweh's jubilee? Can he change Yahweh's laws? No, he can think to, but he can't do it. He's only doing this in his own mind, and he's deceiving others. It says the extraordinary jubilee will start on 8 December on the 50th anniversary of the conclusion of the Ecumenical Vatican Council II. Remember, Vatican II started in 1962 when Pastor was in Eastland, Texas, preaching with his brother. We're going to talk about that too. And it's going to run until the Feast of the Christ King on 20 November 2016. Now, Vatican II started, I'll show you here. Vatican II started on 11 October 1962 and closed under Pope Paul VI on the Feast of Immaculate Conception in 1965. Here's the dates right here. 8 December, that's the Feast of Immaculate Conception. That's why he chose those dates. They don't choose dates for no reason, you know. They do these things on purpose. Now, okay, at this time, I want to bring this to your attention. This is this month's beautiful newsletter. If you haven't got your copy, I suggest you get it. This is really awesome information for all of us. This is the this month's newsletter, or last month's newsletter, August 2015. Nimrod and Jim Crow. There's a really interesting section back here I want you to pay attention to, which is going to tie into this month, about the god Marduk, who is really Baal, the Lord. And Marduk's star was Jupiter, and his sacred animals were horses. Keep that in your mind for a minute. And by the way, on YouTube, they got all these videos about Planet X and Nibiru coming in September. Well, you know who Nibiru is? It's Nimrod. It's the Lord. He's coming. Yes, he is coming. And he's coming to D.C. and New York and Philadelphia. Okay? Yes, he's coming. He's on his way. They got it right. Okay? They know he's coming. Read this right here and you'll see who Marduk and Nimrod and Baal and the Lord are, and you'll know who's coming. Okay? Now, let's see. Let's talk about a really familiar horse here. The American Pharaoh and his jockey Victor Espinosa. This is the Kentucky Derby. He was wearing number 18. 18 is 6 times 3, right? House of Yahweh, y'all know your math, right? And he has his garland of roses. By the way, do you know when they started giving that garland of roses out in the Kentucky Derby? The Kentucky Derby has been going on since 1875, but when did they first give a garland of roses in the Kentucky Derby? 1934 of all years, right? So at the Kentucky Derby, remember the Triple Crown is, you have the Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and then the Belmont Stakes. Okay? They're 3 different races within a 2-month time period. This is his number at the Kentucky Derby. This is his number at the Preakness Stakes, number 6. Remember, number 6. Then at the Belmont Stakes, he was wearing a different number. He was wearing number 5. Can you write that down? Number 5. Because I'm going to show you in a few minutes what that's about. This is the Belmont Stakes. Bell means Lord. Mont means mountain. Remember, mountain of the Lord. Remember, all this ties back to the pharaohs. The pharaohs that were swallowed up into the sea. Remember, the pharaoh was swallowed up into the sea. What's the sea, house of Yahweh? The multitudes, nations, languages, and tongues. The pharaohs are everywhere out here. Okay? And the American pharaoh, you're going to find out who he is. Okay? This is no coincidence. There's number five again. Now, I want you to notice who's sponsoring him on this particular race. Monster Energy. House of Yahweh, this is not a coincidence. I'm going to show you why. Move that aside. Monster Energy Inc.'s deal with Triple Crown Hopeful. Triple Crown. Now, they inked this deal right before the Triple Crown race at Belmont, the last race. It says Triple Crown contender American Pharoah has corralled a huge sponsorship deal with Monster Energy. It's the biggest in the history of horse racing. Now, why do you think, what compelled Monster Energy to decide we got to get this sponsorship on this particular race, on this 666 horse? Well, let me show you what compelled them. First of all, let me show you the horse. Here's the American Pharaoh draped in his Monster Energy jacket. Here's the owner, Mr. Zayit, who's an Egyptian, okay? An Egyptian Orthodox Jew. Here's the Monster Energy label. Notice, Unleash the Beast. That's their logo. Unleash the Beast. You think that's an accident, House of Yahweh? No, you're not going to think so here. You're not going to think so here. Now, what they try to pretend is that those three green lines are claw marks from a monster. That's not what they are. They're the Hebrew letter Wah, which equals six. Everybody got that? Yes, unleash the beast. What could this mean? Now, I told you he was wearing number five on the last race at Belmont. I'm going to have to give you an instruction in tarot card reading, another one of their divination tools. This guy here is known as the Hierophant. With the Triple Crown on his head and the number five above his head. In front of him, he has two initiates that are wanting to get into this order. Give me just a moment. Triple Crown to remain in training. Okay. I got so much on him. Okay. The Hierophant. Here he is, just for the record. It says the Hierophant is known as the High Priest in some decks of tarot cards. He's the masculine counterpart to the High Priestess. He's also known as the Chiron, the Pope, and the Shaman. Y'all writing that down? I don't see pens moving in some places. Let's go. Let's get these pens moving. Now, American Pharaoh wore number five at the Triple Crown. He won the Triple Crown. All the other races, he won 18 and 6. He won the Triple Crown on June 6th, 2015. So 6-6-15 is what, House of Yahweh? Do your math. 6-6-6. By the way, where does he reside? I got to find my... I apologize. Sometimes I... Here we go. Back at Churchill Downs, new Triple Crown champ, American Pharaoh rests, meeting adoring fans. he stays in barn 33. Barn 33. Now, you can think all this is coincidence. I'm not. Now, I want to show you something here. Did y'all know there's a race on the day before the Kentucky Derby? It's called the Kentucky Oaks. The Kentucky Oaks is held on the Friday before the Kentucky Derby each year. The winner gets $600,000 purse and a large garland of lilies, affectionately called Lilies for the Fillies. Lilies for the Fillies. You following? Let's go back to this picture. This man has roses on his back. This one has lilies. Is that a coincidence, House of Yahweh? You see some magic going on here? You know, they're performing magic in the news all the time now, I've noticed. I'm not going to get into it today, but I know their magic. Yahweh's exposing it. Yahweh's exposing their magic. By the way, this is from September 3rd, Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah, to remain in training. Well, what's he remaining in training for? Churchill Downs is offering a possible prep race for American Pharoah in the form of the 1.8 mile race, 175,000 mile Lucas Classic on September 26th. Should his owner Zayat and Baffert decide to go into that spot, Churchill Downs officials confirm the purse of the race will get a significant bump if American Pharoah shows up. Now they're saying, if American Pharoah shows up at all, we're going to pay him just to show up. Now watch. Let's see why. Churchill Downs, this race on September 26th was known as the Homecoming Classic. They're changing it this year, House of Yahweh. Guess what they're changing it to? The Lucas Classic. In honor of a man named Lucas that was a horse trainer. Really? Let's see what Lucas means. You see that? Bringer of light. Lucas, Lucifer. Lucifer, right? The light bringer? In the year of light, on the weekend of light, remember the weekend of light? They're going to be celebrating? Let me remind you, the global weekend of light, the 25th through the 28th of September. Anybody here going? I can't hear you.
No!
Great. Now, by the way, speaking of beasts and unleashing the beast, I want you to notice the date. March 13, 2009. 313, House of Yahweh. CERN celebrates 20th anniversary of World Wide Web. Geneva, which is one of the biggest Illuminati towns in the world. Switzerland. Sisters of ISIS, who guard the Pope, the Swiss Guard. What's the Swiss Guard doing in Rome, in the Vatican? There'll be more on that later. 13 of March 2009, web inventor Tim Berners-Lee returned to the birthplace of his invention 20 years after submitting his paper. Did you all know that CERN invented the World Wide Web? You didn't know that? Berntsen took a delivery of a computer called the NEXT Cube, and by December the web was up and running, albeit just a couple computers at CERN were online at that time. CERN invented the World Wide Web. I'm going to remind you, every time you punch in a computer, What's the first three letters? W, W, W. What is that, House of Yahweh? 666. Do you not remember what Pastor wrote in the Mark of the Beast about the computer? 666. By the way, CERN has 21 member states. 21. And remember what I brought out last week about their accelerator patent that they submitted right here? When did they submit it? 1934, and they first got the machine running in 2008. Is that a coincidence, House of Yahweh? At this time, in thinking about 923, I want to show you a video real quick, and I want you to watch the signals they're sending out to the world right now. This is just one of many. But remember 239. Remember, America's 239 years old this year. That's 239 or 923. You get it? Now, they're sending out the signals everywhere about 923. Can you play the video, please? Pay close attention to the video and the news thing on CNN.
When it comes to our security, with the prospect of a nuclear weapon going off in Manhattan.
This is a pilot for a television show called Rewind that premiered in 2013. Rewind never became an official show. Nonetheless, we see startling symbolism that points to September 23rd, the opening of CERN's door, and the beginning of chaos. The show begins with a bomb squad that's trying to deactivate a nuclear device left inside a car. The scene appears very chaotic indeed. The White House is in a state of disorder, as they are working to prevent the nuclear device from detonating and killing over 9 million people in Manhattan and the surrounding boroughs.
Open the door!
The man says there's a nuclear bomb in Manhattan. The woman asks, "How long?" And the man responds, "There's only a few minutes left." Immediately after this, we see three men trying to break through the door in order to question the man who is guilty of building the bomb.
Knox! Open this door! Open the door!
In your journals, you talk about a life-creating act of destruction.
Every act of creation is first an act of destruction. That's Picasso, actually. I can't claim credit.
The CIA agent who is in the room looks up at the clock, which says 2 minutes 39 seconds until the bomb detonates, and the man yells simultaneously, "Open this door!" for the first time.
Open this door! Open the door!
In your journals, you talk about a life-creating act of destruction.
Every act of creation is first an act of destruction.
The CIA agent leafs through the personal journal of the physicist that's being questioned. You can see the two pages that he leafs through appear to depict wormholes or dimensional doorways.
Open this door!
After this scene, one of the characters is led to a secret research facility where he sees an unusual device that appears to be emitting energy. As the character finds out, this is a dimensional doorway that allows people to time travel. As we find out, the chief scientist explains the time travel machine as the most powerful particle collider in the world.
We're standing in the core of the most powerful particle collider ever built.
The mission of these CIA agents is to travel back in time and stop the nuclear bomb from detonating in New York City. As we later find out, they are successful. The particle collider appears to be the central focus.
It all adds up to this reality that we call the present. this window to alter history? Absolutely. Can we use this window to alter history? Absolutely.
Is this a coincidence? I didn't, you know, here's CERN, here's part of the machine there they're talking about there, just to get an idea how big this thing is. There's the guy standing down here. Notice it has 8 wheels. Oh, sorry. There you go. Can you see it now? I apologize. Notice the 8 wheels. Those are called Dharma wheels. Some of the musicians are wearing them, and they're saying, open the door, Cyrus. That's Rihanna at the White House calling President Obama, saying, open the door, Cyrus. Y'all remember this picture? Isn't that St. Peter's Square? That's called the Dharma wheel, the 8 paths of enlightenment. Are you getting the connection? No, it's not about time travel. I've got too much more to cover. I'm going to probably have to put this off. But I want to leave you with this. Because I want to get your... if they should already be... You should already be salivating for more knowledge here. But... I'm going to leave you with this. Now, the Pope comes on 923, or 922, the 923rd day since his election. He's going to be here for 5 days, right? The 22nd through the 20, or the 22nd through the 27th in Philly. In Philly, remember the lilies for the Phillies? He is going to Philly. Oh well. By the way, just to remind you. Just to remind you, he's hoping he'll see you there too. Right? See all their sevens on their robes? Think that's an accident, House of Yahweh? Now, he's leaving on the 27th, which would be the 928th day since his election, right? Now, y'all remember the time, times, and dividing of time that the great Kohan David Heimerman and myself told you ends. I have the wrong paper, don't I? That's the first calculation. Let me find it for you. I'm sorry. Please bear with me. I moved it, is what I did, so just give me a second, please. Here it is. I'm going to leave you with this thought. On the blood moon, on the 28th, the night he leaves at 8 p.m. on the 27th, to Friday, April 13th, 2018, when the time, times, and the dividing of time are over, how many days, House of Yahweh? 928 days. So guess what, House of Yahweh? He's appearing in the midst. Is he not? Can you get more precise than that? And remember, 2 Thessalonians, let's turn there. This will be my closing scripture. I'll have to bring more later. I'm sorry, I just have too much. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter... Think of Release the Beast... 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 or 2, verse 7. Think of energy, monster energy. Think of energy of Satan. Page 931 on 2:7 says, "For the mystery of iniquity is already working, but the one restraining him..." Restraining? No, unleash the beast. Okay? Y'all getting it? But the one restraining him will continue to restrain him until he's made to appear in the midst. 928 days ends on 9/27. From 9/28 to April 13th, 2018. I'm not saying it's going that long. Remember, it's going to be cut short. It's 928 more days. Just a little preview. 928. Dismay, sudden terror, ruin. That's all I got time for. I hope that Yahweh's greatly blessing your understanding. Got a lot more to cover, but I just can't do it now. House of Yahweh, we have the greatest teacher on the face of the earth, the great Kahan Israel Abel Hawkins. He is really cool and calculated. He's the one behind all these numbers. He's the real numbers guy. In a righteous way. I hope to bring more of you this soon because I got a lot more to cover. But keep those dates in your mind. It's not an accident. Pope Francis, we got your number. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Of course, going on in our world today, we see, just as Matithiah chapter 24 says, that there'll be nation against nation, disease epidemics, pestilence. Of course, we're going to see all of these things, earthquake and place after place. And remember, the love of many has grown cold, and that's due to the governmental system that's ruling this agency out of the seven hills of Rome. We're going to start off in San Quentin, which is a prison of 3,500 inmates. They've had a legionnaire disease break out in the water. Now, if you've ever seen San Quentin, they're bordered by the San Francisco Bay. And here they have 3,500 prisoners that they're lining up and giving bottled water to because the water, of course, prison is a business. You don't want your customers to die. You need to do something. So they're giving them bottled water. They're not letting them go free. They're not moving them bottled water. And then tropical storm in Japan. Watch the massive flooding in Japan. We see this taking place not just in the United States, but also all around the world. And then two brothers in Atlanta. Now, this isn't the only case that you're going to see of this. We've just seen this take place recently in a city in Oklahoma named Broken Arrow. And remember, Broken Arrow was voted the number one safest city in Oklahoma for years. And it's truly a very interesting city to visit. But there's something getting into these homes via most likely the internet. Two brothers in Atlanta recently tried to murder their mother and father. The mother was able to call for help as the boys beat the father senseless, blood everywhere. But we have the mothers, the fathers killing the children, abortion. We have the children killing the parents. The love of many has truly grown cold. And then Pope Francis comes out to announce a quicker way to annul your marriage. He can reset it for you for a small fee and we'll do it quickly. You know, you do more business, you can do it cheaper, and that's what he's saying. Quicker, cheaper, better. But now listen to what he's saying, though. When you watch what Pope Francis is doing, he's saying, as Israel Hawkins said, you have to keep all of these laws. You don't have to do this. Come here. Surely we have a better way. You don't have to keep that marriage. You can commit adultery. Don't worry about it. You can be like the gods. Well, of course, this man has a lot of power behind what he's saying. Now, there's an archbishop who was charged with sexual abuse. Now, he was supposed to come up for trial. He was in the Dominican Republic, the highest ranking bishop that's ever been charged. He conveniently became sick one day before his trial and died. Now, he was at the Vatican City when he became sick, so I'm not for sure what he ate, but I'm sure it didn't help. But you're also going to see the UN. They voted this week to fly the Palestinian flag. Where do you think that influence came from? Who recognized Palestine first? Of course, they're following instructions. And then now Qatar is sending in troops to Yemen. They're saying that is out of control in Yemen, the war between Saudi Arabia, of course, and Yemen. And then, this is very interesting. This lady is from Italy. She's very hard to understand, but she's speaking English. Pay close attention. Her name is Frederica Mogherini. Mogherini. Now, she is the highest representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs, and she tells everyone how Ban Ki-moon, who is the leader of the UN, he is summoning all foreign ministers of the quartet to New York in a few weeks. Well, also conveniently, Pope Francis will be in New York in a few weeks. They're summoning the quartet to discuss further plans on how they can bring peace to the Middle East. Now, why is this going to be so interesting? Well, right now you have Syria, and you have Russia, and you have the United States. Well, Russia is supplying Syria with weaponry and also medical supplies and food for their citizens, when the United States is asking Greece to cut off airspace. Don't let Russia fly through. Cut that off. And then you have the United States combating, saying, Russia, you need to stop. Don't give them supplies. Now, the interesting part is, if Syria is fighting ISIS, if Russia is fighting ISIS, why are we fighting against Russia and Syria if we're all fighting ISIS? Well, of course, it's a war that's generated. It's a pre-made war. And we have many refugees who are fleeing. Now, of course, nobody wanted them until Pope Francis this week said that the churches need to open their doors and let them come in. Those who are fleeing, these refugees, let them come into the churches. And then what occurred? Here come world leaders standing up saying, we will take in 40,000, we'll take in 20,000, we'll take in 10,000. But listen closely to one of the refugees, how he says that in Syria, we're appreciative that the West has given us a place to stay, but if they hadn't have meddled in our country, we wouldn't have needed a place to stay. So this pre-made war, and look how it looks as the Pope comes out on top of this. Think of a refugee who hears the Pope say, give them room. Give them room to come to our churches. They're not going to feed them kosher meals, I promise you. But he's showing the power that he has over the nations as a spokesman for a ruling agency. At this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. If everyone will please stand. At this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Wow, what a beautiful crowd. Look at this, Yahweh. Let's go. Praise Yahweh. That's loud enough to raise the dead. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Speaking of raising the dead, Feast of Trumpets, this coming Tuesday, 9/15/2015, new moon on Monday night, this coming Monday night now, don't forget, everyone, don't forget to come to services either on the Feast of Trumpets. Satan would like to stop this Feast of Trumpets. She wants to stop the resurrection of the dead, which the Feast of Trumpets represents. I'm going to, Yahweh willing, speak on that day, and we'll get a little bit of more of this stuff in that I'm trying to get in before the Pope's arrival. But that Feast of Trumpets is a great representative of what you're going to be doing very shortly in Yahweh's kingdom. You'll have the power to create and maintain flesh, and that is a wonderful thing. And of course, unity is what brings it. Unity, being in unity with Yahweh. We got sermons coming on that to this feast, unity. At least three. In fact, I think that's the theme for this feast is unity. Picture, I got to show you that picture. That article right there is still climbing. Still climbing by about something like 1,000 an hour or something like that. This week is healthcare, not the solution to better health, in this news article that we just put out. And 74 million people watching that, Yahweh willing. what impressed me was some of the stations that they sent to me that's carrying this. This one in South Burlington, Virginia, over 2 billion audience. Over 2 million. Well, that's still a big number. Certainly more than I can imagine. Another one, Television Associates, New York City, New York. Audience over 2 million. And then another one in Virginia. Can't pronounce the name. And that one is almost 2 million. Biloxi, Mississippi, and that is over 1 million. But all of these are adding up, and the word is getting out what the Pope is about to do, and that's what I want to try to cover today, what the Pope wants to do and what Satan is inspiring the Pope to do to try to block the Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets, we celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, but the real Feast of Trumpets is when we'll celebrate with the dead we resurrect. The Vatican backs military force to stop ISIS. Well, you saw the news on that, you know, and of course, I hope you caught what the newsman asked there, because it seems like these wars are the news on them is fake, and the real thing behind them, of course, is the leader of the kings of the earth, which is the Vatican, the divining serpent. That's the meaning of the word Vatican. Vatican Top diplomat at the United Nations in Geneva has called for a coordinated international force to stop the so-called Islamic State. If all of these refugees that's coming out of those countries, if they're Catholic and they can get all of them to get out of the country, and then they have no reason, they don't care about anyone but the Catholics who pay their tithes and attention to the Vatican. So if they can get them all to come out of those countries, then they can go ahead and nuke those countries without having to worry about killing a Catholic, right? From what I can see in the news is they're going to try to protect the Catholics, and the Pope, as Malachi Martin brought out in his book, hopes to come out on top. But so do the others. So does Russia, and so does the United States. But the big push is to get the Catholics back in power, resurrect the one-world government, the so-called Holy Roman Empire. The world right now is going down, as we can see in the news, with sickness and disease, war. We see in our scriptures that the reason we're facing this right now, all of this wars and hatred, it is going to involve the United States, but the United States is going to remain strong up until the very end. That's what prophecy shows, and that's what you are to believe, that the United States is going to remain strong up to the very end before its governments are taken out. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6 tells you the trouble for the cause of the defilement of the minds to where they can't make a sensible decision. It shows you the cause of the wars, the famine, the great disease epidemics. And it plainly tells you there the reason for it is because they have transgressed the law, changed Yahweh's ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Now that's the cause. Now, in a recent newsletter, they're showing how saying that Pope Francis wanted to rewrite the commandments. I don't know how many times they want to rewrite them, you know. They've screwed them up. So now, this from the Catholic Encyclopedia itself, if you wanted to read about the change of the Ten Commandments, they deleted the Second Commandment. If you want to turn to Exodus 20, they deleted that one totally, the Second Commandment. Chapter 20 and verse 4. And of course, if you've ever been to Rome or Paris, any of those places, to the museums, and took a look at their gods there, everywhere. St. Peter's Square they got the big statues of their gods, all of them, where people inside they got what they call St. Peter. Of course, that's a derogatory name that they gave the Apostle Kefa because they hated the man so. And I brought that out in writing, but I'm not mentioning it here. But you need to do your proofreading. Don't forget to proofread and show Yahweh the proof that you read it. That will help. Every one of these letters, news articles, everything, the prophetic word and all, you really need to read those. But Exodus 20 there in verse 4, if you want to read that for yourself, this is what they do in Rome, but this is what they do in the United States too. They bow down to these gods. The Supreme Court is made up of servers of the gods. They just brought through some laws that let everyone see what the Catholic Church is about. And the Supreme Court of America, of course, they're not the Supreme Court. And don't let anybody think that the Catholic Pope or the Vatican has authority to change any of Yahweh's laws. In fact, there's a curse placed on anyone who does that. In the very last chapter of Revelations, and a revelation that was given to the Savior, Yahshua Messiah, which he gives to us to testify about in these last days. But anyone who changes any part of that, the curse is pronounced upon them. Of course, they brought these curses upon themselves years ago, and they're still carrying them. But the Ten Commandments, they deleted that second commandment in Exodus 20, verse 4, and they changed Yahweh's Sabbath. This article in the Catholic Encyclopedia shows they changed God's Sabbath. This is always placed, you know, after they replaced the name Yahweh with the name God and Lord, which they also admit, and I bring it out really often in the newsletters, that they admit to these changes. They take the name Yahweh out, and then when they write, they use the word God as if Yahweh was a God. But Yahweh is not a God. In the many gods of Egypt, they could not find Yahweh's name at all, proving there that he was not a God. And also, he showed his power over the gods. So he's way above anything called God. Yahweh is. You're going to see that as he protects his house through this great tribulation, the last part being the worst. But it says they changed God's Sabbath to Sunday, split the tenth commandment into two to get back to ten commandments. You can see all this in the Catholic Encyclopedia. As a result, the Roman Catholic version of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, is always one ahead of the King James in the dialogue until the 10th commandment, when they break it into two and make it the 9th and 10th commandment. The Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 4, page 153, confirms the deletion of the second commandment and the change of the fourth. If you want to look that up, the Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 4, page 153. If you think I'm lying, or even if you don't think I'm lying, reaffirm it for yourself. The church, after changing the day of rest from the Jewish Sabbath, it wasn't a Jewish Sabbath. It was Yahweh's Sabbath. Remember that. Yahweh's Sabbath of the seventh day of the week to the first made the third commandment after a Sunday as the day to be kept holy as the Lord's Day. Well, of course, the word Lord means dead rabbi. Dead Pharaoh before it meant dead rabbi. And the dead know not nothing. The dead know not anything. The living know that they're going to die, but the dead know not anything. That's what your scriptures say, and I think that's what you should believe. In 1562, the archbishop, now this is one of their own, declared that tradition now stood above scripture. So now this is their Catholic writers and speakers that's telling you this, that the tradition, if you remember what Yeshua said, he said, "You make void the law of Yahweh by your tradition." Who was that he was speaking to? It was the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who got their religion from the Coptic Catholic religion in Egypt. Yahweh brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of that religion, gave them his 613 laws to keep them, to show them the right direction to health, joy, love, unity with Yahweh, and of course the ability and the character to actually receive the Feast of Trumpets to raise the dead before them. That's all going to be given to you. Would that it was this coming feast, but it that necessarily won't have to be on a Feast of Trumpets that we do that. It's a time of events, but this is something we celebrate on this coming Tuesday. First off, showing we believe Yahweh, we're keeping His appointment with Him, this appointment with Him, the Feast of Trumpets. And of course, showing we believe Him and trust in Him, and we're going to do what He said. You know, Yahweh gave, praise Yahweh, Yahweh gave the 12 tribes of Israel this perfection. And of course, they said, oh, Satan comes along and said, oh, you know, he just taken away your freedom. He shouldn't be teaching these morals. That's what Satan said. He shouldn't be teaching morality because that takes away from your freedom. You should be free to go out here and create all kinds of diseases. They don't tell you that. They say freedom to go out here and enjoy life. Enjoy life. Well, I see the people who presumably enjoyed life with babies with big bald heads, and they're sitting there with a crying look on their face. They themselves are dying with cancer or STDs. But they want the desirable. They said that was the desirable way. Can you see how Satan is lying to you here? Well, she lied to our forefathers the same way. She lied to Eve the same way. This is the desirable way. It's really not the desirable way. You know, it's fulfilling lust for a short, very short time period while you fill your body with STDs, create some more STDs that your children have to face when they're born, and some of them don't live very long. But we've seen a lot of this here lately now. You know why? Because it's getting stronger. It's picking up. After this program, the computer program where you commit adultery and go back home safely without anyone knowing it. Of course, that was a lie too, you know. That was the lie they were spreading. Now they're found out about and it's even published. And did you see the amount of Catholics and cardinals and bishops that was on that list? Well, of course, that alone, they said, has picked up by 170% increase in STDs in women. That's in the women. Increased by 170% over what it was, which was a huge amount of people dying with these diseases, spreading them to their babies, their children, that they were supposed to love, which was another lie. They didn't even love their children. In fact, the murders that they're committing, that the Pope says is okay, the murders they're committing all over the world, that they call it abortion to make it sound better to them. Yahweh's prophets calls it murder. I call it murder. They hate me because I call it murder. They hate me because I say, you're going the wrong way from... You're not going the way of salvation. You're not even going the way of peace. You're not going the way of health or joy. You may think you are, but you're not. And if you'll just look around you, you'll see what the neighbors are doing too. They're going down also. Well, but they get mad at me. I'm the most hated man on the face of the earth. I'm Yahweh's trumpet. I'm Yahweh's trumpet. In fact, I and the house of Yahweh are all classified in that word as trumpet there, the last trumpet. You and I are the last trumpet. And we're hated because we're telling the people, no, that's not the desirable way, and you're going to see it before your life is over. It's not the desirable way. Do you think those refugees right now that are fleeing, they're homeless? You think the ones that are starving for food, you think that is the desirable way? Well, that's part of this desirable way that started the same way that Satan and Eve started. The proper way would have been to follow Abel. Well, Abel told me my sins. I didn't want to go with him. Abel told me I was wrong. I should be independent. Independent? Look up that word. Well, it means without Yahweh. Independent means, it actually means without Yahweh, who created you for a purpose of allowing you to find out the proper way of living a peaceful, joyous, healthful life, healthy life, and entering into His kingdom. That to me is the most desirable way. You know, you'd almost have to be an idiot to watch the news today and not believe that Yahweh's way, if you're taught it, is the desirable way. Because you can see hell all over this world now. All over. It's in America, you know, children wanting to shoot their own parents. Parents killing their children by the millions. Yes, murdering them. Besides that, giving them diseases to be born with, even cancers of the brain, but STDs throughout the body. Now, isn't that love? Doesn't that sound desirable to you? You know, when you hear it spelled out the way Abel spells it out, then you hate Abel. No wonder Yeshua said, "He who hates me hates also my Father also." And the Father is the one that created you. gave you his laws and says, if you go this other way now, first off, your mind is going to be boggled. You're going to be hunting for answers and can't find them. And every move you make is going to make matters worse. That's exactly what's taking place. Everything they've done is bringing us up to a point to where they can depopulate at least 6 billion people. That's what they're wanting to do. The other portion that's left is about 1.5 or 1.7 billion, and that's all Catholics, and that's the part they want to save. I'm not making this up. You know, there's people much smarter than me out there that's studying these statistics and writing them down for you. You can get them too, just like you can get this news article I'm reading right here from the Catholic Encyclopedia. I even told you what volume. But their traditions, as Yahshua said, you make void the law of Yahweh by your tradition, and you change thee. And of course, this weakens the law. And because of this, the earth, you're going to burn yourselves. You're going to burn yourselves up and few men left. The Catholic Church is well grounded underneath the ground. They got huge cavities under Rome, under the Vatican, stocked with food and all kinds of equipment that will keep them supposedly enjoying their life of sin, and they got it ready. They got it ready because they know we're going to have nuclear war. Now in Washington, I told you years ago that this was going on there. They've got food stock too, and underground shelters and so forth to take care of themselves, not the poor. That the Pope keeps saying we need to take care of the poor. What he means by taking care of the poor is nuking the poor and getting them out of the way, 6 billion of them. And I'm not making that up. I got news articles to back it up and information from the so-called intelligence that's giving this information out. Well, in 1562, Archbishop declared that tradition now stood above Scripture. Ceased. Let me see. The authority of the Church is illustrated most clearly by the Scriptures. For on one hand, she recommends them. She recommends the Scriptures, declares them to be divine, and offers them to us to be read. This is a Catholic archbishop writing this. And on the other hand, the legal precepts in the Scriptures taught by Yahweh have ceased by virtue of the same authority. And they put Lord there, of course. The Sabbath, the most glorious day in the law, has been changed into the Lord's Day. These and other similar matters have not ceased by virtue of the Savior's teaching. This hasn't ceased by his teaching, for he says that he has come to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. So this man actually understood the difference here. But all Christianity is saying he fulfilled the law. That means he destroyed the law, even though he said before that, and that's what the archbishop caught. But nobody else, hardly anyone, catches that. I've not come to destroy the law. I have not come. Don't even think that I have come to destroy the law. And they say, well, fulfill means to destroy. Well, he quotes this and says, the Savior, for he says that he has come to fulfill the law, not to destroy it, but they have been changed by the authority of the Church. Well, we see in, what is it, Revelation 13, the dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who also deceived Eve, gave the church its seat and great authority. It didn't come from Yahweh. And as 1 Yochanan 3, 7 and 8 tells you, don't let the Pope deceive you. Don't let the divining serpent deceive you by any means. Don't let him deceive you. He who practices Yahweh's righteousness is righteous. He who practices sin is of the devil. And that's what makes manifest Yahweh's people from Satan's people. If you realize it or not, that is the only difference. We believe we practice keeping the laws. They practice keeping their traditions. They practice keeping the change of the law. Most Christians assume, he says, that Saturday is the biblically approved day of worship. The Catholic Church protests that it transferred Christian worship from the biblical. I read that wrong. Most Christians assume that Sunday is the biblically approved day of worship. The Catholic Church protests that it transferred Christian worship from the biblical Sabbath, Saturday, to Sunday. And that to try to argue that the change was made in the Bible is both dishonest and deniable by Catholic authority. If Protestantism wants to base its teachings only on the Bible, it should worship on Saturday. Roman Challenge, www.immaculateheart.com. That's where you can go and get this. Watch this short video to find out what happened to those who did not obey the commandment of the Catholic Church. You can get a video that shows the Crusades, and if you notice, that's exactly what they're calling this again. It's the Crusades of the Catholic Church, and they're getting ready to have another crusade. They haven't actually stopped. They've been killing people throughout all the 4,000 years of their history there that Yahweh shows in the Holy Scriptures, and they haven't stopped anywhere near stopped. But I want you to get your minds on unity. Get your minds on unity. You only got a short time to live. If the world didn't come to an end, you'd still have a short time to live. You got a very short time to stay in this body of unclean blood with flesh, and Yahweh is going to change that. But you have got to remain strong. You've got to remain faithful. You've got to be obedient. You've got to be in unity. Yahweh's going to prove unity. We got a bunch of sermons coming on that too. Some from the women, some from the men. The great Kohan Toby Grinowitch Hawkins is going to bring one on unity in business. And that's a great one to base your businesses on. And if you can get this done, you can't fail. That's what Proverbs showed too, if you remember the great wisdom of Proverbs. But we've got many coming on that for this feast, and you really need to pay attention to all of it because you need it in your mind in order to resist Satan, because the temptation is going to be great from here on out. I'm trying to get a bunch of this in before the Pope gets here, but after you see this, you're going to see the great persuasion that he has. You know, all the world will worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Yeshua says the Lamb's Book of Life, blessed are those who keep his, the Father's, laws. that they may have right to the tree of life. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader.
I love you!